Hello, everybody. Welcome to our weekly group coaching call here for February 15th. We have a lot to go through today in terms of questions. But before we dive into pre-submitted questions, just a reminder that if you want to ask me anything, get some feedback, join the conversation, *2. *2 on your telephone keypad will raise your hand. I will see that here on my dashboard, and I will unmute you, and we can have a chat. So, you know, just know that we don't restrict what type of questions you ask. You can ask about anything. It could be about session 1, 2. We could be several weeks into this, and you could ask about something from before or something that's we haven't really talked about yet in the program. Nothing's off limits. So don't feel like these conversations are strictly about the latest material. The other item I wanted to make sure to emphasize is that we have a Q&A thread posted in the Facebook forum, in our private Facebook forum for this class. And the thread changes every week. So we leave it open for a week. You can post questions there, and then we'll close it. It's read-only at that point, so you know, you'll still have access to that information, but then we start a new thread. Here's why it's important that if you have questions between calls, that you post them in the Q&A thread and not start a new thread of your own. Facebook is still really funny about the way it organizes conversations and posts in groups. And if you post a question as a post in the forum outside of that Q&A thread, there's a decent chance that I may not see it. And in fact, it's already happening. So please, if you have a question, I am here for you. I want to answer it. I want to help you any way I can, but please post it in the current Q&A thread. It's what's called the pinned post every week, meaning pinned. It's always at the top. It always defaults to the top. I believe on mobile, it doesn't show up immediately. You have to tap on this pinned post link that you'll see. So it's not as obvious there. But please post your questions there. I don't want to miss anything. And when I do catch them, I am just copying and pasting them in there just so we have a full record of all the questions. You can ask anything as you think of it. Typically, if you post at the morning of the call, I usually haven't looked at them yet. So what I'll do is I'll answer those questions during the call itself, and then I'll just mark them as answered in the thread, just so you know that I addressed it in the call. So with that, again, *2, if at any time you have a question, you don't have to wait. My system keeps a queue in order of in which the questions were asked. Let me go ahead and go to pre-submitted questions and also the couple of questions in the Q&A thread, and then we'll open it up to live Q&A. All right, so this question came in from Mike. He says, I don't have any web page questions today. I just need to finish the work, but I do have a few general questions for future use. No problem if you want me to wait until future. No, not at all, Mike. I'm happy to address them now. So the first question Mike had, what's the most common payment method for B2B? Is it via check? And, yeah, I would say that's still the most common. You've been seeing over the past, I don't know, 5-8 years, more and more clients wanting to do either a wire transfer or a corporate credit card, that kind of thing. So more seamless. But still today, a check is just, it depends, it depends on the client. But overall, yeah, it's still the most common method. And then his second question was, will we get into statement of work conversations later? Yes, we will. In fact, I'm going to show you how to have that prospect conversation and then what to put together and send to them. I'm not a believer in sending a formal proposal or a formal SOW, statement of work. What I call it a fee agreement, and it includes terms and conditions as well as just some brief information about the scope of work and payment terms. So really straightforward. In most cases, 99% of the cases for you guys when you're starting out, that's all a prospect or a client wants. They're not looking for a formal proposal. And then Mike's final question, what issues should we expect regarding insurance requirements and contracts. So in most cases, and when I say most, I'm talking more than 90% of situations with clients, you're not going to be required to the part of the conditions is not that you carry errors and omissions insurance or any type of, you know, liability insurance. However, there are companies that are requiring it, have been requiring it. Many of them, they have it there just because it's kind of boilerplate, and it just, you know, when they send you their requirements, that's there. But some of them just kind of insist on it. I see this a lot with healthcare companies, bigger healthcare companies. And not to worry, you can get liability and errors and omissions insurance. And let me I did a podcast on this a couple of years ago. And I'm going to tell you, I think it's episode 23. No, it's 24. So b2blauncher.com/episode24, numerical 24. Check that out, professional liability insurance, errors and omissions. I interviewed the president of a company that that basically systemized all of this and made it easy for people like us to enter their information, what they're looking for, what type of work they do, what types of clients they work with, and they connect you with a few different options. And it's very affordable once you get going. The fee ranges I've seen are somewhere between $700 a year to $1,500 a year, somewhere in that range. So obviously when you're getting started, is not the most affordable thing in the world, but once you're going, you know, you're making $50,000 plus a year, this is just the cost of doing business. I wouldn't worry about this right now. Again, Mike, just get going. This kind of falls into, it's borderline things that could stall your progress. So I want to make sure that you guys don't get lost in this and not get started because, well, I got to research the whole professional liability insurance thing. The way I think you should handle it is let's get some clients, let's get some activity going, and then you know, you'll have the revenue you need to address that if and when you get asked. All right, and the other question, let's see, from Kim. Okay. He says, should I combine my service website with my other business site? So he says, hi, Ed, I'm currently creating my website copy, and I'm not sure if I should integrate this on my existing website. My goal was to create a resource for people generating income over the Internet by testing different approaches. Writing is but one of the options that I'm testing, as I've already been successful with other options. Now I know that some people are able to combine their resource page with their services page, but I'm not sure if it will work in my favor for potential clients. If the advice is to create a separate website for the service I want to offer, is it cool to interlink them? I think you can. So here's the thing, but the general rule of thumb is if you already have something going and you have a website right now for that, and now you are launching your freelance writing, freelance copywriting business, it could work on your existing site if it's very complementary and it's a natural transition to what you're doing right now or from what you're doing right now. If it's too far out there, it's not going to work. It's going to cause confusion. It's not congruent. So you don't want confusion. You don't want prospects getting confused because they're just going to go somewhere else. My recommendation would be to – it sounds like it's a little bit too far removed from what you're doing right now because they're two completely different audiences. One is for people who are looking to generating income over the Internet, so make money online, and now you're going after clients who need stuff written. So these are two different audiences. Unless I'm misreading this, very, very different. I recommend having a different website. I think it's fine if you want it in your bio somewhere to say, I also do this, and link to your page there. I think that's fine. But don't feel like you have to unless you feel like, hey, it would be interesting and really a nice part of my positioning if I could show them that I also do this other thing, because based on the target audience that I'm going after, this works really, really well. So, for instance, if you're going after, I don't know, if you were going after the hospitality industry and you had a website about wine, and food and wine, for instance, then even though it's for a different market, I think you could hyperlink to it in your bio because in a way it fits within the realm of hospitality, right? But if you're going after, let's say, banks and financial services companies, and you're also a professional masseuse, then linking to your massage therapy website is not really going to add much. So you can mention it in your bio, but linking to it is not really going to add that much. Okay, so let me see. So Kim continues, I think I have the following options, but here are my thoughts. One, integrate content on the existing page pros that my other community sees firsthand, that I'm putting my actions where my mouth is, and I can offer potential clients to market the pieces I write for them to my own community. And it saves costs for URL creation and hosting. Cons are that not all clients want to be exposed, and they might dislike to see that I dabble in lots of different industries. Yeah, you know, I wouldn't do it right now, Kim, and just see where it goes. Again, unless it's complimentary. But if you're trying to show, well, I can show that I'm also doing other things, I don't think that's really going to add that much to it. I would concentrate on your other differentiators instead. And then she says, or I could create an independent site with no links, pros are that I can market specifically to my target audience and have the site as full support medium. Cons are that if they Google my name, they will find both websites. I wouldn't worry about the fact that somebody might Google your name. Nothing to worry about. Begs the question of why I would hide my other business. And by the way, Kim, I'm not saying hide your other business. I'm just saying don't try to fit everything into one place. Don't try to kind of wedge this in there as, hey, look at what else I'm doing if it's not complimentary. Just want to make sure I don't miss anything. I think I've answered the question, Kim. You gave me some other ideas, but my answer still stands. I hope it makes sense. And if you're on the call, I'm happy to talk it through with you. I just want to make sure that you feel that you have better direction now. Okay, so again, star two, if you have a question, want to talk through an issue, need some feedback from me and so forth, let's go to the Q&A thread because I know there were a couple of questions that were posted there, actually maybe just one that I haven't addressed yet. Okay, this is a great question from Deb. This comes up frequently, so let's talk about it. She says, Hyatt, I try to put together a good reason for using my background in accounting as a base for starting out. I couldn't pin down any topics that I would enjoy writing about or that I would feel comfortable writing. So, bottom line, I'm 66 years old. I don't want to write what I won't enjoy writing about. I've decided to take the route of starting fresh and write for the travel industry. I've traveled all my life, and I have had a few successes writing articles and stories about my own travels. I know I can morph that into writing content for travel companies. I made a list of almost 100 travel companies, mostly tour companies thus far, from newsletters and emails I subscribe to, also from travel magazines that post lists of the best XYZ tour companies, etc. I haven't even scratched the surface. I just started brainstorming a list of hotels, destination resorts, wineries, breweries, and the list goes on. The harder part will be finding contact information for sending out emails, but it can be done. I can see you rolling your eyes at me. No, I'm not. Do you agree that email is the best way to make contacts and get clients? I can write newsletters, blog posts, brochure, copy, white papers, sales letters. All right, so real quick, Deb, we'll talk about prospecting later. I don't want you to get too far ahead of yourself. One step at a time, right? So let's figure out the positioning. Let's translate that into a solid message, solid web copy. Let's get your website up and running, and then we can talk about prospecting. She says, this weekend I will design a value statement that I think will be viable. I don't need to be a millionaire. I merely want to supplement my retirement and do something I really enjoy. I realize it's going to take some time to get going and perhaps be harder in the short term, but I feel confident I can make this happen. A lot more so than trying to pursue clients in a field I don't care to write about. I'll try to be on the call today, but 10 a.m., she may not. Okay, yeah, I'm happy to address this. And this is, you're not alone, Deb. So a lot of people struggle with this. They have this background, this experience, this track record in a certain industry, for example. And, you know, they could just go there. That's what they know. In fact, they even have contacts there. But they're conflicted. because they don't really want to write about that topic. And I get it. So there's no right or wrong here. I think I try not to beat this dead horse in the positioning session, but let me just kind of net it out for you and for others who are kind of in a similar situation. If you go to a target market where you have very little or nothing in terms of contacts, background, experience, et cetera, but the one thing you do have going for it is that you're very passionate about it, then just know that it's absolutely possible, but it's going to take you longer to get traction. Okay, that there's no other way of saying it. I mean, that's just a rule of thumb. You might get lucky. You might get traction early, and I think that's fine. So I'm not saying either way, do it or don't do it. I hope that comes across loud and clear. I know some people think that I'm discouraging some of you from doing it. I'm not doing that at all. I'm just trying to help you see all the factors involved in this decision. So if you go this route, it may take you longer. Now, fortunately for Deb, she's already dabbled into this in this area. She's already written some content for travel companies or some travel articles at least. She didn't say if she'd landed any clients or if she's successfully placed these articles. But so this is not completely new to her. She has a high degree of passion. I think that's great. So as long as you know it's going to take you longer and you're willing to pay that price, I think that's fine. But I want you to remember that because the enthusiasm will wear off eventually as you start putting forth the effort and not getting results instantly. So many times we know logically, okay, sure, I can deal with that. But emotionally, it's hard to go several months without a bite. So fortunately for Deb, she's got a full-time day job. She's got retirement that's going to be coming in at some point soon. So all this is really good. She doesn't need to make the rent next month right now, which is perfect. The other thing to consider is that many of these passion industries, so for instance, oh, I really want to write for the travel industry, or I'm so passionate about food and wine, I want to write about that. You need to look into that industry and see if it can support you financially. Now, I know that's a hard question to ask, and it's hard to get those answers, but generally speaking, business-to-consumer audiences, such as travel, writing content for them, not copy, but content, meaning educational content, blog posts, articles, write-ups, that kind of thing, is low paying. Again, I don't want to discourage you. I'm just saying, generally speaking, it's low paying. Why? Two reasons. The underlying product or service being sold, it's not extremely high dollar or high margin. Sure, some of these tours might be $3,000 a pop, but the margin is not $2,500 like you see in other industries. The other reason it's low paying is that there are lots of writers who are willing to do it for less. There are lots of qualified, viable writers. So you're competing against more people. Compare that to, again, I'm not saying this is any better, you're writing for financial services, you have a financial services background. There are much fewer writers who have that kind of experience and expertise who can hit the ground running there. Number one, and number two, the other factor I mentioned, usually the products or services being sold are very high dollar, very high margin. You know, we're talking about a product or a consulting engagement that your client actually sells that, you know, could be $800,000 on average when they do sell it. So that's huge. So again, it's not, there's no right or wrong here, but I want you to make the best decision possible based on your own set of circumstances. I think Deb is really thinking through this very logically. I like that I can tell that she took everything into consideration because she even said, I can see you rolling eyes at me, and I'm not. And that's good. That's all I want. I just don't want anyone here to pick a passion area and then forget about all the other factors to consider because you're taking a risk when you do that. But when you consider everything, and you're good, at least you understand the risk you're taking, and you understand that you're going to have to do more. that you may have to wait longer to land clients and so forth. So, and then in these cases that, you know, maybe the pay won't be as high, but that might be okay for you. But it may not be okay for someone who's, 35 years old, sole breadwinner in their family, and they were making $80,000 a year in their day job, and they need to pretty much make that as a writer as well. So they can't afford to work even harder and make half of that, for instance. So just, again, I think I've belabored the point here. Hope that helps. And I spent a little bit more time on that one because I know there are several of you who are thinking through this. Okay, so again, guys, star two on your telephone keypad. That's all that I saw that was pre-submitted. I see a couple of hands raised. All right, and the first one, I believe this is Gladys. Hey, Gladys.
Yes. Hi,
how
Ed,
are
how
you?
Are you?
Doing well.
Great.
Good
thank
to
you.
Hear your voice.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a question about testimonials. I don't have any experience in copywriting or writing at all, but I have a lot of professional experience. So there are contacts that I could, you know, reach out to for testimonials. However, I did a test run, and this person, she wrote, you know, really nice things about me, but it makes me sound more like a career coach than anything else. So my question to you is, and that really doesn't apply. My question to you is, when I'm asking for testimonials, how should I direct, or could I direct my contacts to write, you know, about certain things, certain characteristics, et cetera?
Yeah, great question. I'm assuming, who are you approaching? People you've worked with in the past?
Yeah, and my target is the educational industry, like ed tech companies and such. And so I'm reaching out to people with whom I've worked, you know, at universities.
Okay. Oh, so not only do you have you're going after that market, but you're reaching out to people who are kind of in that market as well.
Correct. So this contact, I thought she was perfect because she's a cybersecurity expert and she teaches cybersecurity. And I thought, you know, somebody with that kind of credential would you know, be excellent on the testimonial page. But, you know, she said, I'm a great friend and I'm a great mentor. And I thought, okay, that's not quite up what I'm after. So.
Yeah, okay. So the answer is it really depends on what you want out of it and what you think is what you think they might say. So what do I mean by that? If you're reaching out to colleagues in an industry that you're going to target, then you need to direct them. You give them some idea of what you're looking for. Like, look, I'm starting. This is not the actual script, but something like, I'm launching this business. I'm putting my expertise in this area to, you know, to use in this way. And you've mentioned, the way I like to say it is, you've mentioned in the past that you've really enjoyed working with me, and specifically, you know, you appreciate this and that, and the work we've done together. Would you be willing to, you know, to write two sentences to that effect? I'm looking for some. Sometimes I don't call them testimonials; I call them recommendations, or blurb, you know, something to that effect. So you direct them. Here's what I'm doing. Here's why, how I'm going to do that, or why I'm doing it this way. You've said this, or you've indicated, or you know, whatever. Because that helps frame it a little better. Instead of saying, couldn't you say this about me, you're saying you've expressed or you've indicated or you've implied, and then just direct them. And, in fact, that's you're making their life easier, because to say, you know, could you write me a quick testimonial or a quick blurb, that's so open-ended. People like us, we're used to writing stuff, but most people aren't used to thinking through that, and they're going to get a little stressed out over it. And when you stress out and you have to agonize over it, you keep putting it off.
Right.
So that's the other problem. At least she did it, but many people won't even do it because they're not sure how to even begin.
Right, right.
Does that help?
Gotcha. Okay, that's helpful. So I could sort of guide them in a certain way, you know, to, I don't want to say fish for, but just to give a little bit of direction as to what I'm asking for. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah. You know, I'm trying to show this. This is another way of saying it. I know, you know, from our work together, you know, we've had to do a lot of that. I was hoping you could, you know, give me a quick blurb, two sentences, three sentences, about my ability in that area.
Okay. Okay, sounds good. I have one more question.
One quick suggestion too, Gladys. Sorry, but okay. if you think it would help, once you make the ask, say, and I'd be, you know, I'm a writer. I'd be more than willing to write this for you if you want to give me a couple of talking points for you to review and approve or edit as you see fit.
That's excellent. Okay, thank you for that suggestion.
Sure.
My other question is, now I'm positioning myself in the education industry, so educational products company, educational technology companies, but what if I also have contacts in a target market that has nothing to do with education, but I know that I have access to these people? For example, I have a network in the insurance industry. Because of my husband's business. How should I just not, should I just, you know, just be focused right now? Should I not get them confused? Should I not get me confused? What's your suggestion on that?
Yeah, it's always a tough call because, you know, as I've mentioned this, and I'll keep repeating it throughout our work together, you guys really need to get results as quickly as possible. I just know wins are everything. And if you go 5 months without a win, you have to be a very resilient person to keep going. And most people are not. I mean, myself included. I think of myself as resilient, but, I mean, that's a tough way to go. One idea you could try is, you don't change your positioning or you don't dilute it by saying, oh, but I can also help you if you're an insurance company, because that really robs from your original positioning. So now by diluting it, you're not really strong for either one, to educational or insurance. You keep it with the educational industry, and then what you do is you leverage the fact that you have these relationships as the main driver. Relationships trump anything else. And because you now have an opportunity to say, listen, I'm positioning myself in the educational market. However, as you know, I know the insurance business really, really well. I'm trying to get some help, some companies, and get some activity going as quickly as possible. I think I could add some great value to what you guys are doing. I'd love an opportunity to chat, you know. And there's not going to be any hesitation or weirdness there because there's already a relationship. You see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
They're giving you the opportunity to explain your reasoning. That way, when they go to your site, they don't go, well, wait a minute. This is totally different.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Thank you, Ed.
Yeah. Yeah, and let me explain it another way. That we can maybe all understand for those of you who are thinking, well, how does that apply to me? I had a guy I hired years ago to replace. We had a home that was a little older, and the windows were rotting. Some of the window frames and the windows themselves, the wood was rotting. And a neighbor found him. He said, this guy's great, very affordable. He does windows all day long. In fact, his company was something like DSE Windows Replacement. So I hired him, and he replaced some windows for us. Really nice guy, and of course I worked from home, came down for lunch, went out to the back, started talking with him, and I don't know how the conversation, because we're in the back, so I pointed out the siding, and I said, yeah, you know, this siding, man, it's really rotting. This area of the house doesn't get a lot of sun, So we have this problem, but not even thinking this guy could help me. I was just expressing my disappointment with the fact that I'm going to have to do this at some point. And he said, well, actually, Ed, you know, I'm DSE Windows, and this is how I – he didn't say position. This is how I position and promote myself. However, I do all kinds of renovation work, and I do this all day long. I replace siting. I said, oh, wow, well, I didn't know. Give me a quote. And very competitive, and I ended up hiring him. He did a few different things for us. But it was very smart for him to position himself as a window replacement guy, because I'd rather hire the window replacement guy than Al's handyman, you know? How do I know that Al's going to do a good job with the windows? So I hired him for that, and then once we had a relationship, because now we had a relationship, we could have that conversation, and I trusted him. Had he come to me with DSE Windows, oh, and I can also do your siding and your landscaping, I would have said, nah, you know what, I'll get back to you. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. No, that's good. That's very helpful. Thank you.
Super. You're welcome. All right. Let's see. I got Linda. Linda, welcome. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Doing well. It's good to talk to you.
I ran into what I thought was a problem after listening to one of your recordings, you know, about saying if you've been out of an industry for many years, you might have a problem getting back into it to write. And I had, my expectation had been, I worked in the computer industry for more than 30 years, and I loved it there. And what I wanted to do was write about high tech. And I became very discouraged when I heard you say that. Now, you replied to me saying, I'm not saying you should rule out the tech industry, but unless you've kept up with developments, it's going to be harder. Mm-hmm. And you suggested that we talk about this because there were, you said you could walk through some, well, you said in the flow chart, you walked through some backup options, and I took a look at that again three times last night, and
good.
Yeah, and I still don't like the other options that are in there. You know, I still feel that I want to try high tech again. You said, let's talk during the call, and we'll come up with something that'll get me on the right track. So here I am.
Okay, super. Yeah, I'm glad that you brought it up. So tell me about, before we, just so we have all the options on the table. So what were the other options you said you thought of,
okay,
but you don't like?
Oh, okay. I talked about, well, I mentioned that I'm the primary caregiver for my disabled sister. And, you know, one field that would be compatible with that is senior care. But it's not really something I want to write about because it's something I live for a good part of the day. You know, it's not as exciting a field to me as what I used to work in. And the other one was, I'm on the board of directors of a nonprofit, and previously I had been on the board of another nonprofit, and I had written some grants for them. I'm about to start writing some grants for the nonprofit I'm the board that I'm on right now. And I used grant writing as my master's thesis. So I've had some experience in it, but I'm having trouble seeing how I can leverage that experience into a B2B writing business.
Okay.
Those were the other two options I mentioned.
Okay, good, good. So let's look at it this way.
Mm-hmm.
The flow chart is meant to, when you get to that point when everything is a no, or a nah, maybe not great, then what I'm suggesting is not necessarily, well, let's look at the lesser options than that you had. It's really, okay, let's start out as a generalist. And, you know, just find something in your background that you can talk about, and you can talk about several things. So it's not just when I say a generalist, I'm not saying I'll write anything for anyone, period, end of story. It's I'll write these types of materials, and you could be general. You could say I'll write marketing content and copy. And you could say...
Well, it would be marketing content, yeah.
Okay, so marketing content for businesses and nonprofit organizations, right? You just notice how broad I'm getting.
Yeah.
Who are looking for someone with experience and come up with something. For instance, with experience in translating the complex into everyday, easy to understand information that sticks. I'm just making this up as I go.
I felt that I excelled at that.
Okay.
Translating the complex into everyday language.
You said you did. You did excel in that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Great.
Yeah.
Great. So notice how that example is much better than the I'll write anything for anybody.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But it's still, you're still a generalist because you haven't defined a specific target market. You said businesses and nonprofits who need this. Some people could argue, yeah, you've defined something. I say yes, but it's so broad that now we're no longer talking about a specific target market. But that's fine. So what you do is I want you to still force yourself to come up with something like that. It's a general, very general target market, but then you stress your differentiators, even if they're soft skills, like the one I just mentioned, being able to translate the complex into easy-to-understand stick information that sticks.
Okay.
And, that's just, you can come up with other things. Some people say, I can tell a story that's memorable and that, you know, persuades, blah, blah, blah. There's all kinds of things you could put in there. And then what I suggested in that decision tree is then you go out and start tapping your network. The beauty of this approach that I just described is you've now broadened it enough that you can now put yourself out there and just see what sticks. Just see who needs help. I was kind of forced to do some of that when I started because I was doing this on the side while I had my day job in the software industry, and I had to be very careful with the networking that I was doing locally not to run into my employer or companies that did business with my employer.
Sure.
So I had to be willing to take whatever. My first real paid project was with a potato chip company. I did some work for somebody who used to work with my wife who had a small training company. And I say small, I meant like her. She was a trainer and owned the company. And so I think she had another part-time person. But she trained on this enterprise software warehouse management system because she used to work for that company. She left, and she started doing this on her own. She got certified, but she needed some lead generation letters. It worked. They worked really well for her. So I had a second cousin, a great cousin. I don't know what you call him. my mom's cousin, and he was a consultant in the food industry. He worked for a food company in California for years. He went out on his own, and he was trying to draw my business. So I wrote, here again, a sales letter, lead generation letter for him. Charged him $200. And these things gave me momentum. They gave me confidence. They gave me practice. And they led to other things. Where they're going to lead for you, who knows? But you need to get started. So what I encourage you to do is, and I'm with you, if senior care and these things don't end, I think you should listen to your gut. Just
okay.
Keep it as a generalist, but stress what makes you different in terms of skills, in terms of experience, in terms of even if many of them are soft skills, and then put yourself out there.
Okay. That sounds
Does that make
good.
Sense?
It does. Yes.
One thing I'm going to mention to you that I should have mentioned to Deb, and I hope, I don't think she's on, but I may have to remind her, let's see, at 41 minutes. I want you to think of yourself as being at ground level and then trying to make the leap to, I'm just trying to think of a metaphor. I can't think of something right now, but you're trying to make a leap like, that's 4 feet. So you're gonna have to step back, get some momentum, run, so that way you can jump 4 feet in the air to this next step. Okay.
Okay.
That leap is pretty tough. You know, you might trip, you might miss it, you might scratch your knee, you might break a leg if you hit it on the edge of that step. But then there's another step right after that one that you're going to have to you'll probably leap to at some point. And that one's only 1 foot higher than the first step. That's how I see this happening for you, for Linda. What happens is your biggest leap is going from zero to first paying client into even the second and third. Like getting that first group of clients is really the hardest test. Once you do that, transitioning to something more specific is a lot easier. So in your case, let's say that you serendipitously land a few clients and there's not a lot in common in terms of industry, but they have this in common. Maybe it's a type of project. And out of four, two of them end up being this type of work. And maybe it's writing some articles for them. And you say, you know, I really like this. I never really thought about writing articles. These are fun because they're long enough to challenge me, but not so long that they're stressful. And suddenly you start positioning yourself that way, and then you find an industry that makes sense for you based on the experience you've had with some clients. And now you're saying, you know what, I'm going into health and wellness in B2B. Making the leap from where you are as a generalist to health and wellness now is that second step. And it's a lot easier to go from step one to step two than it is to go from step zero to step one. So in Deb's example is, you know, she might start with a sector of travel that, you know, it's not as exciting as she thought, but it's where she got her start. It's easier to do that and then eventually transition into the sector of travel that she was thinking she would do more of than it is to go straight to the other one.
Right. Okay. Yes, I understand what you're saying now. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, but the main thing is you don't have to have it all figured out now before you take action. So I would say run with what I gave you. Try to find, you know, some of those differentiators. Create some copy around that, and let's get started. And what do you say? You don't have to see the whole staircase. You just have to take the first step.
Yeah, I dug through the mud last night and found a rock to throw in the air.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's your starting point.
Okay.
All right, Linda. Good to talk to you.
Okay. Thank you, Ed.
You're welcome. All right. Let's go to Kim. Kim, is that you?
Yeah, that is me. If you can hear me,
How
that is.
How are you? I can hear you. Good to talk to you.
Perfect. Same. Very good. It's getting late, but hey, long day, good day, right?
Absolutely. What time is it over there?
8 p.m. I'm getting old, so that's late for me now.
That is definitely bedtime.
Yeah, agreed.
So how can I help you, sir?
Maybe with a little bit brainstorming. I got inspired in the last section that you had here. So it's kind of a follow-up question.
Okay.
When you're talking about target markets or differentiation in total, it almost always comes down, even in your examples, on certain niches or certain industries, even if it's very broad. But you're advertising, let's say, tech companies or in your examples, there were science companies or whatever, right? So just very overall topics. Is it possible to do this the other way around and just trying to target attributes that certain companies are going for with their customer base? So for example, let's take tech companies or startups or whatever. Like, a lot of them are doing the same kind of product, so they are trying to set themselves apart by doing different kinds of customer support systems or how to treat their consumer base, right? So if you would target your copywriting or your blog writing or anything else, still on sales, but with the background of, hey, we are doing it in a way that translates your language and binds your customers to you eternally, like more on this kind of side instead of going for a niche. Do you get what I'm saying? I might be a little bit in circles.
The way I'm understanding it is you're saying instead of something about them intrinsically or inherent to them, you're saying something maybe on what they're doing, something more an attribute that's based on action or strategy they've embarked on, rather than something in their related to their industry or related to other physical, tangible attributes about the organization. Is that right?
Yeah, basically. Or is that like a bad marketing message if you see them like, hey, I know your customers are the most important for you and you want to bind them to you or you want their loyalty, so this is how we could help?
You could. My concern is that unless you're basing that on some insider knowledge, so for instance, you've worked with several companies, maybe even one right now, where you're seeing this in action and you're seeing the need firsthand, it's more theory right now than anything else. And, you know, I'm okay with trying something just to see if I can get some traction out there in the real world, but I'd rather go with something that I know is I've seen firsthand is going to work.
Right. The reason why I'm talking about this or why I came to the idea is because of my background. So I grew up in
the call center
or customer support industry, did a lot of different jobs there, from customer support agent to eventually operations manager for the LATAM and EU market for Microsoft. So I saw a lot of different things there. And the other thing I did was in learning and development. So on one side, how to make employees better, cut down on costs and create training decks, but on the other end, how to maintain customers, how to help them without them realizing what they need help with as well. So I thought, how can I combine this and how can I make this my unique strength when trying to pitch projects?
That makes it a little bit more tangible. I think if you can come up with something concrete that a prospect will hear and go, that's me, I'm okay with that, because you're basing it on real life experience, not on, hey, I think this is where things are going based on what I'm reading. That's kind of a dangerous thing, you know?
Right.
I like it. Again, it's got to be concrete and it's got to be simple. It's got to be a simple idea, simple message. This may not be quite what you're talking about, but an example that I've coached a couple of people who have position themselves as ghostwriters for CEOs who need to write in their authentic voice, something along those lines. So notice that that's an attribute of need, not one of industry, not one of type of project.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to resonate. That's a very simple and concrete idea, right? So that meets what I said earlier. And that's going to resonate with CEOs who are big into thought leadership and who have – it's got to be someone who's already worked with outside writers before, but it didn't work out with at least some of them because they couldn't quite get their voice.
Yeah, and who's going to say no to that, right, if you want to have your memoirs? So it's – yeah, it's easy to say yes in that case.
Exactly. Memoirs or a book, legacy book of some kind. It's she just knew. And that came from personal experience. Just, hey, I've done this as an employee, and this is a big deal. I think this is an idea that's going to resonate with this audience based on my experience. So, yeah, I think the trick is going to be, like I said, is finding how do you communicate that in concrete terms. Concrete in simple terms. So you don't have to, if it's going to take three sentences to explain it before somebody says, oh, okay, I think I know what you're talking about, that's going to be difficult. I'm not saying you shouldn't go for it because, remember, we're just trying to move. So yeah. Many times the first iteration of your message may not be perfect, but it gets better. It gets clearer. I've done that myself. I mean, it's like it's taken years sometimes to get to a message that I've find it's finally clear, concrete, coherent.
Okay, makes sense. So I will just start writing it down, and then you can tear it apart on a later call.
Absolutely.
Cool.
I'd love to.
Well, thanks.
You're welcome.
Appreciate your time.
My pleasure, Kim. All right, and Deb said, oh, good, Deb is here. So good, Deb. I hope you heard the first part too, and that it was helpful. And again, I'm happy to talk with you anytime more about this. But I sense that you maybe have some relief here now that you know it's totally okay as long as you understand the challenges. And for you, Deb, and for others who have thought the same thing, it's like, gosh, you know, I know a lot about this and I have experience in this, but I don't want to go in that direction. I want to go for this passion industry. Again, knowing that, okay, but, you know, that first leap is always the hardest, and it's always easier to make if you go with something you already know, for instance, accounting, and then going from accounting to travel is an easier transition than going from zero to travel. So as long as you understand that's the key part. All right, so again, guys, star two on your telephone keypad if you have a question. And one of the things that I wanted to do, I actually forgot to mention this early in the call, is I'm here for you too when you get to that point to give you a quick review of your website copy. We've started a separate thread for that, and you'll see it in the forum. It's very simple. Make sure you read the instructions there. Everyone gets one review. I'll do them live here on the call. I'll look at them fresh. That way you're getting my first impression. I think that's important. And I'll give you some feedback. But go ahead. You can either post a URL of your copies already live on your site once you have that ready. Or you can post, if it's just in a Word document, you just post it in the files section of the forum. And then let us know in the website review thread that you had posted it there. And then I will go do that. If you do a Word document, all I ask is that you please put all your copy in one Word document. I've gotten them before where it's seven separate documents, one for each page of your site. It's just very cumbersome to review those, especially live. So I don't see any questions right now. What I'll do is let me go ahead and go to the website review thread, and we'll get started with some of these. Okay, so the first one was Keith Smiley, and he posted in a Word document in the files area. So let me go there. Okay. Let me just download this. All right, so again, I'm just giving you first impressions, which I think is going to be more helpful than anything else. And if you guys want to follow along, by the way, it's if you go to the files section of the forum, and it's on the top left corner of the forum, you'll see the menu, about, discussions, members, events, videos, photos, files. And then you'll see KS webpage is his document. So his headline, I help B2B companies write persuasive marketing materials that convert high-quality leads into paying customers. Okay, so one quick thing I just noticed, should be convert, not converts. So that's just a little typo. If you're like most B2B marketers, generating a steady stream of quality leads is one of your biggest challenges. You need to give prospects a compelling reason to do business with you. I can help. Keith Smiley, B2B business copywriter specializing in lead generation. Okay, I would actually take that out. You don't need a subhead there. I would just go straight, because it disrupts the flow. I can help. You want to go straight into your introduction. My name is Keith Smiley. I'm a seasoned broadcasting veteran who now focuses on writing emails, direct mail, landing pages, video scripts, and other lead generation marketing copy for small B2B companies. I use my experience in broadcast communications to deliver persuasive writing that generates high-quality leads and converts them into paying customers. Great. Whether you need to increase webinar registrations, white paper downloads, or free demo requests, I can help you create lead generation marketing copy that persuades prospects to click your link, mail your reply card, or fill out your online forms. Learn more about my background, see a full list of my services. Yeah, I think that's the call to action. I think that's fine. Okay, so let me go back and look for the elements in here. I think the headline, I would work on the headline, Keith. I think it's, I think you can cut this down a little bit. I help small B2B companies write persuasive marketing materials that convert high-quality leads into paying customers. I think you can narrow that down. In terms of, there's too many words there. It's too long. I help small, I wouldn't even say B2B. I think that's just going to naturally emerge in the copy. I help small businesses write marketing materials that generate high-quality leads. I think that something like that would work a little better. So your challenge copy, I think, is fine. And then you present yourself as a solution. I'm a seasoned broadcasting veteran. That right away is implied differentiation. I use my experience in broadcast communication to deliver. Yeah, and then I use my experience to do this, that, and the other. I think it's really good. Yeah, you got all the elements there. You kept it short, to the point. Let me see. You got 169 words. Yeah, so that's good. That's under 200, which is where you want to be. Okay, about me. Keith Smiley, B2B copywriter specializing in lead generation for small B2B companies. Again, I think you can pare that down a little bit, and you don't necessarily need B2B in there or your name. I help companies do this. Or you could go with a headline that really just encapsulates your experience. You know, broadcasting marketing professional. Now helps you generate leads with whatever, something along those lines. So something that just, it's more congruent with an about me page. It's like, here's what I got. I can help you. Here's my background. Most B2B marketers say their number one challenge is generating leads. As a B2B copywriter who specializes in lead generation, I help small B2B companies. Okay, so again, a lot of B2B in there. I'm not sure if maybe you did that on purpose, thinking maybe for SEO reasons. We've gotten to the point where if it was SEO reasons, you don't need it. Google has gotten so sophisticated, keyword stuffing, it just doesn't work anymore. So if that was the reason, you don't need it, and if that wasn't the reason, you still don't need it. Cut down the B2B. I help small companies. You can mention it once, but then that's it. I have a BA in radio and television broadcasting from Fort University. Why does this matter to you? Okay, great. Writing radio commercials. I think what you have here about the fact that, look, I've been in a world where you have to get to the point quickly and persuade in just a few seconds. That to me is a very powerful idea. I would change my headline for that page to reflect that. Like that's what I would lead with here. And the headline is a great place to put that in because you've planted that seed earlier on the page. My training as a writer. So writing to sell requires more than just good writing skills. Yeah, and then the courses you've taken, I think that's fine. It's not necessary, but if you have them, I think it's fine to mention them. Let's talk. Perfect. Okay. No other comments on the rest. I think you're fine there. B2B copywriting services. Help small B2B companies create effectively. Here's some of the services I offer. I'd be happy to talk with you about other copywriting. Okay. Direct mail. Yeah, and typically I say, you know, as I talked about in the training session with your services, you don't necessarily need to write two sentences about each, especially if you have a lot of them. In your case, Keith, because you're going after smaller companies, they're less sophisticated, you may have to do a little bit of education. So I think this works in your case. If you're going after a very sophisticated audience in terms of marketing content, you won't need to put this much in there. And I mean, a laundry list works fine. You saw some examples in the video in session two with D'Angelo, for instance, where he had just categories. And then under each category, just listed three specific services under each. So that works really well, too, but again, for more sophisticated audiences. Okay, samples. Anyway, no other comments there. I think you're fine. I focus on helping small B2B companies screen. Marketing materials that attracts, so attract, you have an extra S there. Good, I like that with the samples, you have a little bit of context there. That adds so much more. So that's for everybody's just knowledge. Whenever you can add a little bit of context to a sample, that definitely makes it more valuable. This white paper discusses this, that, and the other. It was used for this. Anything like that can help. And you may not have that right now, but just saying for the future. And then you have a contact me copy. Yep. Perfect. Yeah, solid. Great work, Keith. Great work. So I would just work on some of those things I mentioned. I think you're good to go live once you do that. Again, it's your first iteration. It's a great job for that first cut. Okay. So that was Keith. Let's see. Let's go to the next one. And Rafiq posted, good. This might be a good time. He said, please note, I'll be joining an hour late around 2 p.m. Eastern due to another commitment. Okay, so Rafiq, hopefully you're on as I'm reviewing your site. So let's go there. SilentSalesMachines.com. Up your marketing game with your very own 24/7 silent sales machines. Wouldn't it be amazing? So, by the way, and if you want to follow along, guys, it's in the website review thread. You'll find it there in the forum, and he's got the URL there if you want to take a look at what I'm seeing. Wouldn't it be amazing to have a sales team that is working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, no vacation, no sick days, no asking for a raise, sales team that always, okay, three sales teams, white papers, ebooks, case studies. Okay, so first off, Rafiq, very beautiful site. I mean, this is so clean, very nice, love it, very professional, modern. I think there's several changes I would make to the homepage. The first is it's too long. So from session two, you'll probably remember, you want to keep it under 200 words long. The whole idea is who are you? What do you do? How can you help me? Should I even be on this site? Right? So all those factors, the three main factors of your positioning need to be there. What you do for whom and why you're different. And it can help if you start with a challenge. You know, some in terms of your audience and the challenges they're having in terms of working with the right kind of writer. That's a classic approach. Works really, really well. So pare this down. The other thing is you have written it for an audience that's not very sophisticated. You're educating here more than anything else. And what you have to do instead is assume that this audience, especially you, you're going after high tech. The types of clients you're going to go after, they already know this. And you don't want to start teaching something they already know. Instead, they have a defined need. They're looking for someone who can help them. You want to position yourself as the right person. So it's a totally different angle to take. I would say, you know, you're having trouble, you know, finding a writer who actually knows tech, somebody who has the engineering background who can talk to the engineers, yet somebody who understands business value and has that product marketing background that will enable you to talk about ROI, business value, and how this can impact the business. Stop looking. I'm your person. I'm your writer. I'm your man. Here's what I do. Here's whom I help. Here's what makes me different. Two sentences. Learn more about how I can help you or contact me to discuss your next project or take a look at some of my work here. All right, that's it on your homepage. Notice a very different approach from the, you know, wouldn't it be great if you had salespeople out there doing this work 24/7? Well, you could if you had some great marketing content, specifically these three different types. Let me prove to you why you need that and then provide research. This is for an audience who doesn't understand that. I think the point hopefully there is clear, but I'm definitely happy to talk with you about it. Let's see, about me. Pardon me. Based in Los Angeles, I work with software companies to write white papers, articles, case studies. Yeah, and like I have most business writers, I have an MSN in engineering, an MBA. And did that? Okay, perfect. I've created a small army of highly effective collateral, including sales presentation. That's brilliant. I love that line. Video case studies, business cases, value calculators. I'm also a trained improviser. This is great. You know, and what you're showing me too, Rafiq, is that you're not the what most people consider the stereotypical engineer who's only left brain. You show me here that you are a very balanced person. Yes, the engineer, but you have the MBA. You're also a trained improviser. That's a right brain activity. Toastmasters, public speaker, storyteller. Facts are for the mind. Stories are for the heart. That's brilliant. You've just shown me that, you know what, you can do more than just talk to engineers. You understand how to communicate, how to persuade. Services. My services focus on providing two things, engaging informational content for sales and marketing collateral and web copy. Yeah, great. I love that you narrowed it down to three things. Of course, you happen to know that that's exactly what you want to do, and that's fantastic. So, and you have that experience. Samples. Well, I do believe that white papers and case studies are two most effective marketing. I've created a wide range of marketing assets. I like that you've sprinkled more of your why me here, right? This is great. Not all of it is shareable. That's perfectly understandable. So not a big deal, but the spacing here is a little off. I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to separate white papers from case studies, data sheets, brochures, et cetera. But it looks a little visually, it doesn't look right. This is a very minor thing. But if you have time, I would go ahead and just add some subheadlines. White papers, case studies, or maybe case studies and other marketing collateral. And then reduce the white space between these bullets. Oh, fantastic. You got some testimonials here. In contact. Excellent. So, yeah, the biggest thing really is the homepage, Rafiq. Hopefully this makes sense. Again, I'm happy to talk with you about it. And I encourage everyone to do two things, and I'm not singling you out or anything. I just happen to remember this right now. Take a look at the video with the sample websites that I included in session two, and all the links to those websites and others are inside the session two handout. The other thing that I encourage everyone to do is once you feel comfortable with, okay, this is going to be my copy, run it through a proofreader. Have a proofreader go through it. It's too hard to proofread our own stuff, guys. So have somebody else take a look at it. I've been using proofreadnow.com for 12 years. They work around the clock. They're fantastic. They have two people look at it, and it's very, very reasonable. Small price to pay. Feel that comfort of, hey, I have error-free copy out there. So just to, you don't have to do it on right, you know, as you're writing the copy, but once I've reviewed it or we're kind of at that stage and you're ready to go live, make sure before you start prospecting and sending people to your website that that has been proofread. Okay, and then let's do one more, the Alice, and then we'll go back to questions. And again, guys, at any point you can ask away by dialing star two on your telephone keypad. Okay, so let's go to Alice's site. It's also in the website review thread if you want to follow along with me, wattscopywriting.com. Focusing on B2B where you count. Okay. Need someone who speaks your language? I do. I speak pension. Okay, real quick, I like the headline. I think it's a good starter headline, Alice. But I would say visually it needs to pop even more. So right now it's the same size as the body copy. You want to make that an H1, you know, header copy, much bigger than this because it – you got a lot of things competing with it, and that's what you want to really stand out. Need someone. And I might consider, I would brainstorm that headline a little bit more. I think you might be able to find, it's good, but I think you might, it's like a B, B minus. I think you can find a B plus or A minus. Need someone who speaks. Need someone who understands. Need a writer who already understands pensions. That would be even stronger. A question headline like that just says so much. Hi, I'm Alice, your business-to-business copywriter. I wouldn't do the introduction first. So go straight into challenge copy. Finding a copywriter who understands, so start with that. The retirement plan industry can be a challenge. Even harder is finding one. I would change it to one who's worked as a pension professional. And then new paragraph, that's me. Hi, I'm Alice. I would take out your business-to-business copywriter. Take that out. Hi, I'm Alice Watts. Not I can help you because I'm a copywriter for the retirement plan industry. I bring 25 plus years of experience in retirement plan administration plus a CEBS. Designation to my work. I understand the challenges you face on a daily basis, including employee communications, compliance, government reporting. I wouldn't do those as bullets. I don't think they're important enough to really emphasize them that way. They are important, but you're really calling a lot of attention to that. And if you were to do that, I'd rather see you call attention to specific differentiators on this page. That means I don't need hand-holding. I can hit the ground running. I work with companies, sell product services to retirement administrators, so I help them. In order to cut back on the I do this, I do that, because you have three instances in a row. I don't need hand-holding, then I work with companies and I help them to write white papers. I would change that up a little bit. Try to edit that a little bit so it's, this means I don't need hand-holding. I can hit the ground running. I work with companies to sell products, service to retirement managers, helping them write white papers. Maybe that's one way of doing it. Articles and case studies that engage and persuade potential customers. Need a project written? Let's connect. Yeah, so it's great from that point on. I wouldn't necessarily change the end. So, yeah, brainstorm that headline a little bit more. Make sure it visually it pops, it's bigger. Don't introduce yourself yet. Start with the challenge. Then look no further. I'm Alice Watts. I bring 25 years experience in retirement plan administration, including employee communications, compliance, government reporting. What's great about working with me, not you wouldn't say it that way, is that I don't need hand-holding. I can hit the ground running. And I specifically work with companies that sell products and services to the retirement administrators, working with them to write white papers, articles, et cetera. So anyway, you're almost there. Why me? I've been in your shoes. I'm a writing research type of gal, and I know how to run a project. So I like the way you broke this down with these subheads. Very good. But defined benefit, cash balance plan as well. I've read. So this is great. I mean, you're speaking the lingo. They totally get this. You're proving that, yeah, you know this stuff. You're showcasing your experience, your knowledge. Your education. Not a big deal, but I try to avoid big verbs or words such as necessitated. You want to keep this conversational. If you wouldn't say it while you were talking with somebody, then say use the word you would use if you were in front of them. So my MA thesis required that I research. Maybe use that because he didn't want two R's. But anyway, then the small thing. I have a certificate in nonfiction writing. This is really cool because you show, again, that it's not, hey, I know all this stuff and, yeah, I kind of want to write. You show that you have some chops, that you have taking courses, that you have certifications and education in this area. And I know how to run a project. I've been a project manager. I'm able to switch gears. I think it's great. This is a great Why Me page. Services. You're busy. You don't have enough hours in a day to get it all done. That's why I'm here, help you with your must-have projects. Here's where I can help you. White papers. Oh, I like how you did this. Kept it simple. And I like how you have them bolded and then continuing right underneath. That's clever. Have a project you don't see here, don't worry, just contact me and ask. Perfect. Call to action. You know, with your samples, I think it's fine to have them here like that. Longer term, don't let this stop you now. So if this is what you got to go with for now, that's fine. Longer term, I would try to not have the copy here directly on the samples page. It's better if you can link, even if you have to put it in a Word document or a PDF would be ideal. I think that's better than having all your sample copy like directly on the page. Articles. You know, my suggestion with the articles area or your blog is I would turn this off for now, Alice, until the content that you have there relates to the market that you're going after. Then it's going to be relevant. Otherwise, again, it's not congruent enough, and it could create some confusion. And it's not needed. It doesn't add anything. So I would just turn off that page for now, and later if you wanted to start a blog, then you could do that. About Alice. Okay. So you're showing that logical progression here to where you are now. I like that. On a more personal note. This is cool. So you're showing some, revealing the personal side of you, and you did it right in that you waited till the bottom of the page. You want to show them as much relevance as possible and then become a little bit more personal at the bottom half. Testimonials. FAQs. And then contact. Yeah, I like it. I think these are not huge changes, Alice. So great job. I hope they made sense. You're off to a great start here. Okay, so let's go back to Q&A. I don't see any raised hands. So at any point, if you have a question, star 2. And I'll let you know when I don't see raised hands, just in case you thought you raised it, but I'm not seeing it, then we can figure it out. If that's the case, if you keep hitting star 2 and it's not raising it, by the way, only hit it once, because if you dial star 2 twice, star 2 and then star 2, it lowers your hand. But then let me know by just logging into the today's call page inside the training portal and letting me know, hey, I need to talk. You're not seeing me. All right. In the meantime, Nadine submitted a question on the call page inside the training portal. Hi, Ed. So my background is finance. I've been an accounting assistant for years, so I'm going to stick with this industry. But I've never written anything for industry, and after doing some research, I'm a bit self-conscious. My question is, what can I do to boost my confidence for writing in this niche? Thanks. The best way to boost your confidence, Nadine, is to just get out there and land a project. I totally get where you're coming from. Believe me, you're not alone. I see this frequently where people are going to go ahead and leverage their background and experience, but they've been practicing the whatever they do, not writing about it, and that's very common. And the best thing you can do is land a couple of clients. How are you going to land them? One of the many reasons I'm going to start you with tapping your network is it's very forgiving. Again, when you have a relationship, that trumps anything else. That trumps the having to show a track record, having to show all these samples and so forth. They're willing to give you a shot. And even if it's kind of slightly outside of where you want to be, that's fine. The boost in confidence you'll get from landing a client is so incredible that that'll put you in better footing to then keep going. So really the biggest thing is not some artificial thing you could do or some mantra you could repeat or some type of special meditation or anything like that. Not that you were looking for that, but it's not going to be a hack like that. It's going to be the real thing. And it's going to be landing something as a result of a relationship. I can speak about it personally. I had experience in the software industry, but it was a very specific, I think I mentioned this in the last call, type of software. It was not enterprise software. I was selling to contractors. And here I am. I'm trying to get enterprise software clients. What ended up happening, long story short, is that a friend of my wife introduced me to a friend of hers who introduced me to her ex-boss, who was vice president of marketing, a software company. There is no way that guy would have given me a shot had I not been recommended. But I came in recommended, and the guy gave me a shot on two brochures, and that's how I boosted my confidence. This person gave me a shot. I poured everything that I had into those projects. He was very impressed, loved it, kept giving me more work. I had that client for over 7 years. And You know, it just you just need that first break. All you need, this is a very short-term problem, Nadine. All you need is that first client, which will lead to your second client. And before long, you won't even think about, oh, my gosh, at one point I was so self-conscious. I was so nervous. You'll forget about all that because you'll be in a different place. So you just need to get some work. And the first few clients are not going to be impressive, I'll tell you that. Right now, that one I just told you about, that was not my first client. The first few clients are, I mentioned earlier, potato chips. My friend who had a training company of one herself, some pro bono projects that I did for some independent people. My mom's cousin, $200 for a sales letter. Crazy stuff like that, but that's how you get started. All right, so again, star two, if you have a question, need feedback, want to talk through anything, I see Rafiq join us. Rafiq, I did your review about 25 minutes ago, so hey, let me bring you in. Hey, Rafiq, you're on.
Hey, Ed.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Hey. Yeah, how are you?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
Doing well. Were you here when I did your review?
No, I just joined.
Oh, okay. I waited till 2 o'clock.
Sorry about that.
But listen to the replay. I won't rehash everything. I think you're off to a great start. Most of the feedback that I have was really on the homepage. And
uh-huh.
These are things that I think you'll be able to fix very easily.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
You bet. Yeah. So when you listen to the replay, if you want to skip ahead to the 1 hour mark, that's kind of where I got started.
Okay. Got it.
All right. All right, guys. Star two. If you have a question, and while I'm waiting, just want to emphasize. I'll be saying this over and over again. Keep going. Keep moving. Don't stall. I stress this throughout. It's important that you move along. Things are not going to be perfect. You're not going to be entirely comfortable with everything you do. You're not going to be entirely comfortable with your copy and showing it to me and having me review it. It's important that you move through this. And by the way, regarding having your copy evaluated, This is great practice. This is going to happen with every client. Your clients are going to read your stuff. They're going to give you feedback. They're going to have edits. You need to develop a tough skin. So this is all good practice. And the idea is not to be perfect. The idea is you got to be done. Done is better than perfect. Let's keep moving. You're going to continue to iterate anyway. No matter what you do, how long you spend on this stuff, you're going to think of better ways to say it, better ways of communicating it. Your positioning is going to shift. You're going to refine it. You're going to pivot. But you're only going to get those answers once you move. So it's important that you move. We're going to be working really fast through this process. It's just hard to catch up if you're too far behind. This is very, very doable. I've been doing this for a long time. But you have to be disciplined. And it's one baby step at a time. All right, so I don't see any other raised hands. I'll just do one last call for questions. I don't want to miss anybody. And again, keep in mind, we can continue the conversation, Q&A, in the forum. Just make sure to post your questions in the current week's Q&A thread, which will be the top thread always when you log into the forum. And I'm there at least every other business day. I try to be there every day, but you know, sometimes if I'm traveling or I'm out that day, I want to give myself a little bit of wiggle room to get back to you. Try not to be there during the weekends. Try to kind of separate myself from work and recharge. But so just, you know, if you post something Friday evening, it's going to be Monday before I get to it. Just be patient. I'll get to you. All right, I don't see any other questions. We'll go ahead and wrap up. Again, guys, we'll post the replay tomorrow. We'll send you an email always when we have that inside the training portal. And just as an FYI, you know, those website reviews were at about 50 minutes into it, and I think we did about 25, 30 minutes worth of reviews. We had a few back-to-back. So if you want to skip to that part, you're always welcome to do that. I'll try to timestamp that here in the call and in the forum for those of you who want to get to that part. So you guys keep moving along. You're doing great. I'm very encouraged by what I'm seeing so far and how you're diving into this material, thinking through it, you're making decisions, you're taking action. So keep doing what you're doing, and we'll talk again next week. Take care.